Hi, I'm Steve Dace. So if you're looking for a summer worldview camp, this is the place to be. July 16th through the 20th, we're going to encourage your kids to become the next generation of cultural leaders. We've got pastors like Douglas Wilson, filmmakers, cultural critics and commentators like myself and Matt Walsh from The Daily Wire. Sign up at calledconference.ninja. Again, Moscow, Idaho, July 16th through the 20th, calledconference.ninja.
The next chapter, chapter 10 of The Case for Classical Christian Education, talks about Logos School, ACCS, and New St. Andrews. Moscow, Idaho is a small town. If you want to find us on a map, you find the state of Idaho and look at the chimney. There's a panhandle that runs up to the Canadian border. And so Moscow, Idaho is a small town, a university town, up in the chimney of Idaho. For those of you who live on the East Coast, where there's people, where you have people everywhere, you have to understand that Idaho is one of the states where cattle outnumber the people, and the trees most certainly outnumber the people. So we have a little over a million people in the entire state. The state is maybe the size of Great Britain, and so there's not a lot of people, a lot of trees, a lot of open spaces, big sky country. To give you some sense of this, Moscow has got a permanent population of about 22,000 people in it. And about half of that is the population of the university students at the University of Idaho, a third to a half. It fluctuates, but we've got a permanent population and a transient population of the university students. So Moscow is a small town. 20,000 people is a small town. Now, throw into the mix the fact that at 22,000 people, small town, we are the 10th largest or maybe the 11th largest town in Idaho. So we're right at the this gives you I'm not trying to communicate a sense of desolation. I'm trying to communicate to you that this is not a place where you would expect the kind of thing that has happened to happen. So in this small town, three entities that are very important to the classical Christian school movement have grown up and developed here. One was Logos School. We were talking about that, K through 12. This next year, we'll have north of 400 students at Logos School. This happened a number of years ago, 10 years or so ago. We haven't counted recently, but there was a school bond levy issue that came before the public, which failed, and then there was panic and consternation, and they tried again. It succeeded the second time, but there was a lot of debate about where have all the kids gone? Why do we not have kids in the public schools? And the answer is that we did some calculating of our own and concluded that we were just a few hundred kids away at that time. We were just a few hundred kids away from government education of children in Moscow dipping under the 50% mark. So if you look at all the homeschoolers, if you look at the who's being educated online, you look at Logos School and some of the other smaller academies that we have around here, we are within shouting distance of having Christian education become the majority form of education here in Moscow. And that's incidentally, if you ever make the mistake of Googling my name, you will a lot of interesting facts, some of them even true, will come up in your Google search. You'll hear lots of interesting things. And a lot of our controversies date back to that time when Christian parents here started diligently pursuing Christian ed, classical Christian ed for their kids. Well, it's taken deep root in our small community. Not only did it, so we've got K through 12, over 400 students in one, in Logos School, which is the flagship school in the classical Christian school movement. Well, we started in the early 80s. Then I wrote Recovering the Lost Tools of Learning that was published in 90 or 91, somewhere around there. And it, the book, Recovering the Lost Tools of Learning, was a book that, how should I put this? It was part of a series of books. It was called the Turning Point Worldview series. And it was a worldview application set of books. Marvin Alasky was the general editor. He and Herbert Schlossberg wrote the first book, Turning Point. And then they had a book on literature and a book on watching the movies with a Christian worldview and a book on foreign policy and a book, you know, all the different aspects of this. And I was privileged to write the one on education. Well, if you read the worldview book on watching movies with a Christian worldview, what you would do is you'd put the book down and say to your wife, let's go to the movies and let's see about thinking this way. Let's have a date night and let's go to the movies. Or if you read the one on literature, you would say to yourself, if I read Moby Dick, I'll have to keep these things in mind. But if you read, and this was something, this thing I'm about to tell you is not something we anticipated, but if you read my book, Recovering the Lost Tools of Learning, and if you were persuaded by it, which a number of people were, they would put down the book and say to their husband or wife, we have to start a school. Okay, and lots of people did that. They put the book down and they said, we have to start a school. We have to have a school like this. Well, they're, you know, who are you going to call? There's nobody to call. There's no, there was, we had done this up in Idaho, and it turns out there were a handful of other schools that had done something similar around the same time, but we were pretty much it. So if someone decided that they wanted to start a school, they looked up our phone number and called us. They would write us or call. And my volume of mail, the letters and the calls and stuff on what do we do, how do we start a school, how do we start a school, began to pile up. And I was quickly overwhelmed. And in fact, the first step in the formation of ACCS, the Association of Classical and Christian Schools, was when I handed that small pile of letters to Nancy and said, Nancy, could you answer my education correspondence because it's getting away from me? And so she started sorting that out. And then we had the bright idea, well, why don't we hold a conference on this? Let's have a conference. We'll record the talks. The talks can address frequently asked questions. And then when people write, we'll have a tape that we can send them. We could just send them the tape. So we had a conference, which was wildly successful. A number of people from all over came, and they were in the throes of starting their schools. Okay, what are we going to do? So at that first meeting, at that first conference, I thought, we have to start an association. And so we did. We formed up drew up the plans, drew up the bylaws, and formed the Association of Classical and Christian Schools, with some of the other schools just starting, and we made the conference an annual conference. And so I think for the first 3 years, the conference for ACCS was here in Moscow, and then the fourth year I think we moved to Raleigh, and the ACCS took off. ACCS has still got their office here in Moscow, but it's now a national and even international organization. We have about 1,000 people come to the annual conference. This year, the annual conference is in Dallas, and quite a few people come from all over. But the office work, a lot of the mailing is still connected here to Moscow, which is not what you'd necessarily expect looking at the town on a map. Well, then I'll add one other important element in this, and I'll read from this chapter, Logos School, ACCS, and New St. Andrews. I started, we, I, we, started Logos my oldest daughter's kindergarten year. So Becca had been, when she was a toddler, she was toddling around the living room, and my wife said to me, Doug, I can't see on education, I can't see handing her over to somebody we don't know and saying, here she is, teach her about everything, teach her about God, teach her about life, teach her about everything. And I said, at the time, knowing nothing about Christian education, I said, don't worry, by the time Becca hits kindergarten, we'll have a Christian school started. The only thing I knew was that I agreed with what my wife had just said. And so we went through the process I described in the previous podcast on pursuing the Sayers model and so on. But Logos opened Becca's kindergarten year. And then when she was in high school, we were learning the ropes, figured a lot of things out, made a lot of mistakes, but managed to survive by God's sheer grace. When Becca got into high school and she did very well on her standardized tests, she got to started to receive mailings from Christian colleges all over the country. And here's what I say in this chapter. I said that basically because of Logos School, Becca was all dressed up with no place to go. And here's what I say in this chapter. Some might wonder at the comment that there, quote, was no place to go. The American landscape is covered with Christian colleges. But these colleges overwhelmingly have two major problems. When Becca was still in high school, she began to receive mailings from Christian colleges. From the brochures, and this is what they mailed to us, trying to persuade us to consider them. From the brochures, it would be fair to conclude that the purpose of attending an evangelical Christian college is to ride horses, eat pizza, and make lifetime friends. In other words, it was hardly a clarion call to academic discipline, integrity, and hard work. At least one college I know of has a dean of fun. Okay. Okay, what's the problem with that? So that was one thing, is that it seemed like a glorified summer camp or a glorified youth group or a glorified... Now, I know that there are courses and many good, solid courses and many superb teachers, etc. But that's not what they were advertising. That's not what they were telling everybody that they were going to try to accomplish. And we wanted a college that said, look, if your kid comes here, we're going to make them read a lot of books, and we're going to make them work like a dog, and it's going to be really worthwhile, you know. So that's what we wanted to do. The other problem with Christian colleges is a historical one. I say this. The other problem is rooted more deeply and is harder to address. The profound sense of the antithesis that Christian parents develop over the course of educating their sons and daughters is largely missing from the evangelical establishment in higher education. From compromise on evolution, to compromise on egalitarianism, sexual issues, to compromise on secular accrediting standards, today's Christian colleges in America are an epistemological mess. Christian colleges are a major part of the problem. So think of it this way. The Christian school movement, the K-12 Christian school movement, began within the last generation. After the divide, the antithesis between secularism and unbelief on the one hand and believing Christianity on the other became glaringly obvious, when it became grease fire obvious, a lot of Christian parents pulled their kids out of the government schools and started homeschooling or started educating their kids at a classical Christian school. So a lot of these classical Christian schools were born in the middle of the conflict. The new wave of Christian schools is a child of the culture wars. The culture wars that have characterized the last generation have generated account for the genesis of many of these Christian schools, because the average Christian school in America is what, 10 years old, 20 years old? Maybe the old ones are, you know, 50 years old. So they're relatively comparatively recent. Christian colleges overwhelmingly are over a century old. They were formed before the antithesis between secularism and unbelief on the one hand and believing Christianity on the other, before that antithesis became quite pronounced. And they were up and running and established before that antithesis appeared, or appeared quite so plainly. And a lot of them have been co-opted or have been captured by, I would say, the forces of unbelief. So how many Christian colleges teach that God created the world in 6 days? How many Christian colleges teach that God created man, male and female, and that men are different from women? How many of them are unembarrassed by that kind of thing? And the answer is, tragically, not very many.
I'm a 2009 graduate of New St. Andrews College, and I'm a commercial property manager.
3 kids at Logos, 1 at home still, and I do flowers on the side out of our house. When you have these little people that you're responsible to shepherd, you realize I need to know what I'm talking about, because they need to have a firm foundation and they need deep roots so that they don't get blown over and that they're ready to stand up for the truth.
I am a programmer. The language aspect of NSA is a fantastic preparation for any sort of programming.
I'm a real estate broker here in town. I think absolutely the perfect education for being in sales of really any kind.
I actually put it to a lot of great use when I was working in the political realm.
I am a pastor in Central Coast, California. Whatever vocation you take, it'll make you take that seriously because you're seeing it through the lens of the sovereignty and lordship of Christ.
For more information, visit us online at nsa.edu.